Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our sermon today are from Galatians chapter 1, where Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that through them you would set us apart from this sinful world. Set us apart for yourself. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I bet a lot of you have boxes in your garage. I've often cleaned out boxes from the garage, and I knew a family once that had a whole bunch of boxes stored up in the garage, and they began clearing it all out and giving it all away. And unfortunately, in their last move, one of the boxes was mislabeled. It was actually a box full of priceless family photos, and that went out the door, and they lost all of them, and I always felt bad for them. Giving away things can be a good thing, and it can be a bad thing if you give the wrong thing away. It depends on what you're giving away, and it depends on the intent of your heart. Now, some of those things that are going out in those boxes will prove useful to some people. And some of those things that are going out are never going to be helpful to anyone. I've got a lot of those boxes myself. And some of the things that we have are just far too valuable or too personal to give away. That's the story of our garages, but I want to shift now to talking about the boxes that are up in our brains. We all stash stuff up there in the storage shelves of our minds. I know that I still remember the instructions for setting the clock on the stupid VCR. That's one of those things that's never going to be useful again, is it? But what about algebra? Or that perfect summer picnic that you can remember in such detail? The smell of grandpa's aftershave. Those are good ones. And there are also those ones that we don't want to remember so well. Sadness that followed a bad argument with someone we care about. Or the self-loathing after we've made that really selfish decision and we know it. Or that defiant posturing that we did before mom and dad when they confronted us about something that we had done wrong and we didn't want to hear it. The shame of the things that we've seen and that we can't unsee. The frustration of not being able to follow through on good intentions. Some of those things up in our minds would prove useful to other people. Some of them would be pretty much useless. But there are a lot of things up there in our minds that we wish we could just get rid of somehow, that we could either push to the back or stash away or just avoid altogether. God's word often confronts us with those things, those experiences, those memories that we so want to forget. God always sees and he never forgets, and he reminds us of this in his word, and our consciences know this deep down. The only real God tells us right in the first commandment that he will not tolerate anyone or anything else that somehow has come to be the devotion of our hearts. He won't tolerate devotion to self, to selfishness. We're not to be devoted to our own pursuits, but to his pursuits and to him. He will not tolerate devotion to anything but the truth. He won't tolerate that defiant posturing that we did. Maybe some of us still do. Because it really doesn't matter what we want to be right or wrong. He's the creator. He tells us what is right and wrong. He's the very definition of what is right. He defines that. He won't tolerate it when we misuse the gifts that he has given us. He won't tolerate the misuse of our sexuality or the misuse of our money or the misuse of our efforts or the misuse of our authority. All those misuses that we find ourselves involved with all the time are sinful and they're wicked. And nothing can be with God eternally that's wicked. This is the truth. Whether anyone believes it or not, this is what God says. And that's why he made our consciences to testify to that truth, so that we would be aware of it. That he hates everything that's touched by sin. This is exactly why we shove those memories and those experiences to the back of the shelf. We don't want to deal with them. We don't want to think about what it means that we have sinned against God. It saddens us to dust them off. But God's word brings them to our attention again and again because it's important for us. It's necessary for us to think about these things so that we might remember what we've done, so that we might learn from what we've done. And yet, you and I will never find in such remembrances the ability to change what we are. We're sinners. We have sinned against God. But the one thing that brings us out of this gloom of sin, out of the shame, into the light of God, is the gospel. We've heard it here at Our Savior over and over again. We'll hear it every Sunday. That while we were yet sinners, fallen so far short of the perfection that God created us for, God in himself, he determined before time even began in his infinite love that he would sacrifice to buy us back from the debt of our sin. That he would give himself to save us, to redeem us, lost and condemned creatures. God resolved in eternity to love us even though we didn't want his love. God resolved to love us through our terrible addiction to sin. And you know how hard that is if you've ever tried to help somebody who's caught in an addiction. God resolved in himself to save us. And so in the person of Christ, he came down from heaven to intervene directly in our history, to be a part of this world. And so he entered into the squalor of human life. He was born to the Virgin Mary, born without the sin that so engulfs our human race. He was born to live that unique and perfect life that he lived, born to give that life up on the cross as the perfect substitute and sacrifice for us. He paid for our sins, every last one of them, not with gold or silver, but with his own lifeblood, the very lifeblood of God the Son. This was an infinite payment. That's how it can cover the multitude of our sins so completely. Not one of us deserved this. Not one of us can point at ourselves and say, yeah, I did something right. God ought to repay me with heaven. We can't do that. It is by grace we have been saved. Grace means undeserved love. God's undeserved love for us sinners. It is by grace that you are saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. The true gospel is by God's grace. This is the good news. The gospel that the Apostle Paul so wants us to have. This is the news because it is the message that Jesus wanted us to have. It is the very power of God, as Paul says, unto our salvation. God never goes back on his word. And so when he preaches to us this good news message that Christ paid for our sins, believe it. It's the truth. And yet it's the very truth that God's enemies want to rob us of. Make no mistake about it. The devil's very real. Well, people make cartoons of him and try to downplay his existence even in our day and age, but he's very real. And he is blinded by his anger toward God. He is blinded and frustrated by the fact that he cannot ever prevail against the living God. And so he lashes out at everything that God loves. And that's you and me. He lashes out and tries to drive people away from Christ. And the world around us is nothing more than the collective sinful nature of mankind. It doesn't want us to hear that message of grace. And worst of all, there's that enemy within us, our own sinful nature that we're born with. It's ever trying to lead us away from God's goodness and into foolishness and selfishness. Dear Lord, it's nothing short of a miracle that any of us believe at all. It's the constant work of God the Holy Spirit reaching out to us through this word that we're hearing right now and through the sacraments. Apart from this work, we would quickly forsake the Lord. We might give him lip service, but we wouldn't be interested in hearing what he has to say, except that the Spirit comes and kindles in us the fire of his holy love. How many have walked away from that? How many have forsaken God and gone down that path and pierced themselves with many griefs? There's nothing but sadness when you forsake this gospel, that true gospel that's so easily lost. The Galatians were like us. They were harried by the devil and the world around them and their own sinful flesh. They had to deal with those things all the time. And the Judaizers, they were a religious group there. They were trying to teach that some of those Old Testament ceremonial laws that God had given to the Israelites to picture the coming Christ. The Judaizers were saying that some of those laws had to be followed, even though Christ had already come. And they said that those laws had to be followed in order to get into heaven. In other words, they were preaching salvation by works. Do this and you will live. This was a trap of Satan. Satan was trying to rob the people of God's love. Now, these were fine, upright people, many of them still Christian, but they were in great danger from this teaching of the Judaizers. They were in danger of exchanging the worship of God for a sham. Today, Paul preaches the same message to us. We are in the same danger. So don't have anything to do with those tempting preachings that we hear that tell us we've got to do something to win our salvation. We got to believe harder. We got to do this, that, or the other thing in order to please God and make him happy with us so that we can go to heaven. Don't let yourself be deprived of the gracious things God has given you. Don't let yourself be deprived of the truth by which you are saved. God promises you that Christ paid for your sins. Even if an angel should appear and write on gold tablets some different message about Christ, well, don't believe that. Don't associate with it. Condemn it as the falsehood that God says it is. It's a curse. It's an abomination. Such false gospels are tremendously popular in our world. Because they're always saying, you get to do something. You get to be a part of that. God will be obligated to you somehow to pay you off with heaven if you do the right things. And that sort of resonates with that sinful mind of ours. It's a way that seems right to men, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Many people are on that broad path, but the narrow way is so simple. God loves you. God has given his Son for you. And because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, you have eternal life in Christ. Don't let that gospel be that precious box that slips out of your grasp and goes right out of your mind because you neglect the truth, because you neglect gathering together with your fellow believers to hear the word of God and to receive the sacraments. But then also, I want you to remember this. The message of the gospel is not like one of those physical boxes in your garage. The gospel is always bigger on the inside because God is somehow his word, the word made flesh. Keep that box open. Keep on unpacking what it says. Keep on giving the contents away to other people, and you'll find that God will never let that box be empty, but constantly full of his grace. The true gospel is, in fact, meant to be given away. We're always so fearful of bringing up the gospel with other people because it often means that we have to somehow talk about sin with them. But does a firefighter think about the comfort of the person that he's pulling out of the burning building? We need to have bigger things on our mind for their sake. Never forget for a moment where you would be without God's grace. Never forget for a moment that the people around you will not be okay if they don't have the gospel. They have nothing. And yet, I don't want you to think either, nor does the scripture, that we somehow have to do some persuading and do this great work of doing just the right thing to get people into church or get people in to reading the Bible or something like that. That's the Holy Spirit's work. We're just messengers. Just bring that good news to people. Tell them about Christ. God the Spirit desires to work through you to accomplish this good thing. Just remember that you're a humble servant of God. Saved yourself by grace through faith. Now let that same mind be in you that was in Christ. Seek the lost. Give them freely what God has so abundantly given to you, that eternal life, that living water that wells up in you forever. Give them the gospel, the truth. Jesus died for them, that God loves them on account of what Jesus did. Fellow redeemed, the shelves of our minds are full of all kinds of stuff. Our lives are full of all kinds of stuff. Obligations and events and appointments and responsibilities and so on. There are many joys and there are many sadnesses in our lives. But every one is for the good of us who believe according to God's promise. Open those boxes. Think about what Christ has done for you. Think of how God made you to be that unique servant. Think about your experiences and let the good be praises to God and the bad become compassion for others. And then think about those obligations and those events and those appointments, because those are precisely the points in your life where you get to share the good news with other people. May God guard and keep this gospel message among us, so that we might be bearers of the good news among all the troubles of this world. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life.